What a privilege to be with you today and to take a time to get to know many of you, to say hello to old friends, and to give Scott a little bit of a break. I'm so glad that he has that opportunity. We pray for Scott always and for his ministry here and for your ministry together as God's people. Today is an unusual day in the life of the congregation. It is called Transfiguration Sunday. So we'll talk a little bit about that. That's a big word we'll talk about in a minute. First of all, you notice I do have this on my arm. I was told to say several different tales by several people in the congregation. Just let it be known that I zigged when I should have zagged. But it didn't happen this week. This was actually the repair of a zig when I should have zagged in 1984. If you want to hear more about that later, I'll tell you that's a long story about riding a horse to the church for a bicentennial, the 200th anniversary of the United Methodist Church. The rest is rock and roll history, I can tell you that. It's still haunting me a little bit. So I apologize for having this on this morning, which means, based on the fact that it wasn't supposed to be like this, the sermon may be shorter than you anticipate. So that's a good thing. I hear someone praise God from the back. That's good. That's good. Let me share with you from the Gospel of Mark today. Mark is that gospel of the immediacy. Mark is always saying, and immediately this happened, and then this happened, and it's sort of the short version, if you will, of the gospel. In fact, if you wanted to read the gospel of Mark, and you just said, you know, I just need something to read this afternoon, you could pretty much read it in a couple of hours in the afternoon. It's a short gospel. So here is the story. Jesus has been baptized. He fed 4,000 people. He's been explaining the bread of the bread of the world. He's been talking about the different aspects of the kingdom of God. He heals a blind man, and then see that's how Jesus does this. Mark does this. It says 6 days later, he's done all these things. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and brought them to the top of a very high mountain where they were alone. He was transformed and transfigured in front of them, and his clothes were amazingly bright, brighter than anything they had ever seen, as if they were bleached. Elijah and Moses appeared, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let's make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now he said this because he didn't know how to respond, for the three of them were terrified. And then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice spoke from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for the power of your word. We ask in this moment that you pour out your spirit upon us, open our hearts and minds, that we can be receptive to your word and your way for our lives. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. We're listening. Amen. I love to think and talk about transfiguration, mainly because that's not something we talk about every day. Transfiguration is one of those interesting little words that sometimes we go, well, now what does that mean? Well, it's a wonderful... I'm just going to warn you this morning. How many of you are planning on going out to lunch today after this is over? Are you going to go somewhere to eat lunch? Some of you might be. All right. How many of you are going to engage someone this week that goes to another church somewhere? Okay, good. This is so you can dazzle those people, okay? So we're going to learn a couple of words this morning. The first one is that this word transfiguration is actually out of a Greek word, and the Greek word is one you already know. You may not know you know it, but you already know it. Metamorphosi. Now, what does that sound like? Metamorphosis, doesn't it? Metamorphosi. It means to transform or to change something from one form to another. We just got back from New Jersey this past weekend, and with our other grandchildren, we have 1 3 and one that's 1 year old, and my 3 year old grandson Andrew was explaining to me that there was a caterpillar that had been on the deck, And he explained to me that that caterpillar would go into his little house, and he would spend some time in his little house, and he would come out a butterfly. Now, he was explaining to us what? Metamorphosis, wasn't he? Now, he didn't know it was metamorphosis. Actually, I think they actually made him say that, but that's okay. It would have been kind of like me trying to speak Greek too. But anyway, so it was a change from one form to another. Now, there's lots of change that takes place around us. You've ever noticed that? We change a lot of things. This weekend, since we've had our four-month-old around us, grandchild around us, we've been changing diapers. You change a wet diaper to a dry diaper. That's a change, right? You can change the direction you're going. You can be walking this direction, change your direction. You can change that. That's a change. You can change your mind. You might think one thing one way, and then you say, oh, I'm going to change my mind and do another. How many of you ever say to someone else when you're about to go eating, what do you want for dinner? And somebody says, I don't know, what do you want? I don't know. And you start on your way to dinner, you finally make the decision, you're gonna go to Mugshots and have a hamburger. Yeah, and all of a sudden you think, you know what, that's a little heavy. I think I just want a salad. And so we change our mind, don't we? Well, this word metamorphosis is not just transformation, not just a change. It's something much more powerful than that. Those are changes from the outside. A transformation is something you change on the outside so that it will change something on the inside. That's what a transformation is. We talk about transformation in church all the time. You change something on the outside so you can change something on the inside. And this is not Transformation Sunday. This is Transfiguration Sunday. The word transfiguration is different because it engages Jesus there on a mountaintop with his three favorite disciples, Peter, James, and John. Now that's kind of different. Mark is not always kind to the disciples. Mark will imply every once in a while that the disciples didn't quite get what Jesus was trying to tell them. In fact, I've joked over the years, sometimes I think Mark kind of considers them to be the disciples because they don't get it till after the resurrection. They just don't. And so this is one of those cases. Here's Peter, James, and John, those folks that seem to always be around him. He takes them up to a high mountain, and all of a sudden they see this vision of Jesus with Moses and Elijah and a light shining, and they're like, oh, it's good for us to be here. Well, yeah, it is. You're seeing a vision, but it's more than that. All of a sudden, Peter says, well, I know what we'll do. We'll build something. That's what we tend to have a tendency to do. We see something good. Well, let's build it, and we'll make this kind of an important place, and that's what it'll be. We'll just be here. Well, the reality is that there was more to this than that. In fact, a cloud shadows over them. A voice comes out of it and says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And then when the cloud's gone away, it's just Jesus there. You see, Peter, James, and John had watched Jesus heal the blind man. They had watched him feed 4,000 and 5,000 people. They had watched Jesus speak about the kingdom of God. They had seen miracles happen. They had seen him cast out a demon in the synagogue. They had seen all these things happen. And so they perceived Jesus to be this incredibly wonderful teacher, this amazing healer. They'd seen Jesus to be a lot of things. What they had not really realized yet, obviously by this scripture, is that he was more than they ever bargained for. And so transfiguration takes place. Transfiguration is changing from the inside out rather than the outside in. Jesus revealed to Peter and James and John the real Jesus in that moment. It was an epiphany, a revelation. They saw Jesus as he really was. He was the Messiah, more than Elijah, more than Moses. He was the true light of the world. He was the Son of God. He was God incarnate. Now, so often in this world, we kind of try to make Jesus what we want Jesus to be. In fact, so often these days I read stories about and read articles by people who say that they're not real happy with the church. They're not real happy with people who are Christians these days. And I think most of the time the reason they're not is because sometimes we as Christians tend to create Christ and God in our own image rather than being created in the image of God. We try to make God a political point to end an argument. We try to make Jesus a fit into our system, into our way of thinking, and our way of life. We try to fit Jesus and change Jesus and transform Jesus rather than allowing the real Jesus, the transfigured Christ, to transform us. Now, it's also this part, too. The reality is that sometimes we try to transform our outside lives so it'll change our inside lives. And we forget that we have been created in the image of God. And as my granddaddy used to say, you got it in you. Why not use it? You were created in the image of God. You got it in you. Let it work. Let it work. See, there's that beautiful story in Genesis. There are two Genesis stories that talk about the creation. I love it. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, a little bit different. One's told from different perspectives. It's wonderful. In the first one, it says, on Monday, God did this. And on Tuesday, God created that. And on Wednesday, it's almost a systematic way of teaching the way that God, the creation came about. It's a beautiful story. I love that. And it says, male and female, God created them. He created them in the image of God. In His own image. And then I like that second story in Genesis 2. And if you translate it out of the Hebrew, it's a wonderful kind of story. It's not just sometimes we read scripture as if it's antiseptic. We kind of think we ought to put on plastic gloves and read it with our deep voice. That's not how that story in Genesis 2 is a storyteller. In case you hadn't figured out, I grew up with a mother who was a storyteller, and I'm a storyteller too. But this story is wonderful. If you read it, it's almost as if the Genesis writer is saying there once was a magic garden with a talking snake. It was a beautiful story. And in that story, you find that God has Adam naming all the animals. He has dominion over them. He names them. That's dominion. He's naming all the animals. And when he's naming them, and God he's seeing Adam, and Adam is lonely. And that's the reason it says that God created Adam to begin with. And he says, well, I'm going to make you a helper. And so he puts Adam to sleep, and he puts him to sleep, and he takes out a rib, and he forms the woman, and Adam wakes up, and he sees Eve for the very first time. And he does what every young man does when he sees his love of his life for the very first time. He broke into poetry. He said, at last, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. And at the end of that story, he said, and that's the reason a man and woman will leave their own households and join together. See that wonderful story? That whole story is about us understanding that God created us and put into us His image. We too are available for transfiguration. God can change us from that part of Him that's inside of us, from the inside out. I talked with a gentleman not long ago. I happened to have a little bit of car trouble, and I was sitting in a location not all that safe. And a gentleman walked up, and he was asking for a little bit of help. And so I said, well, let's go get a cup of coffee. We went in the store, got a cup of coffee. We sat there for a few minutes, and he started. He said, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a preacher. And I could tell he just kind of moved away from me. He said, I don't go to church. And I said, well, I'm sorry. That's okay. I said, I've lived a hard life. He talked about all the things he felt he had done wrong, and he said, you know, there's just no way I could ever go to church. And I said, but you got it in you. And he said, what? He thought, I'm sorry, do I need to let it out? I didn't. But it pained me to realize that he did not realize that God was already inside of him. That God was already working in his life. we prayed a little bit, and he went on his way, and I'll never know exactly what happened with him. But it pains me, and it makes me grieve with the fact that there's so many of us who feel like we can't live a life any different than we already live, even when we're in trouble. But the reality is that God created us in His image. He placed in us His own image. And that image of God can be reactivated. It can be energized. It can live from the inside out to change the world. And that's what we're called to do. Jesus, transfigured on a mountainside, shining as a bright shining light, revealed to Peter and James and John, this is what we really are here for. And in that moment, that beautiful moment, the cloud covering Jesus and Moses and Elijah, a voice speaks and says, this is my beloved Son. And if you listen to the baptism story, when it said, this is my beloved Son, it said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But in Mark, at the Transfiguration, he says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Jesus is always speaking to that part of God that lives in us. Listen to Him. From the inside out, Jesus calls us. There's all kinds of songs. There's old hymns. There's new songs that talks about the call of Jesus into our hearts and into our lives. This scripture is really the impetus for it all. This is my beloved Son, God says. Listen. Listen. There's a beautiful old spiritual called Hush, Hush. Somebody's calling my name. Hush, Hush. Somebody's calling my name. It must be Jesus. When we are quiet enough in our spirit, in our heart, in our mind, to listen to the voice of Jesus calling, and we answer that call, then God speaks to us and reveals to us from the inside out that we too can be transformed to be who God has called us and created us to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.